increase. You see, you and I as a church, well, I'm speaking of saved people in particular, we're called salt and light. We are to preserve. What's good left in America today and in the world today basically is what's rooted in the Word of God, in God's people, in God's Spirit. And when God's Spirit is removed and the saved are gone, let me ask you, who's going to be standing up saying, let's obey the Bible? No, sir. Restrictions will be gone. And that's what the fuss is about today. Folks like myself that stand up and say, God is right and the world's wrong. This is the way that it ought to be done. Adultery is wrong. Homosexuality is wrong. All this stuff. Oh, no, you're out of step. We accept that now. Boy, do they accept it now. Oh, I'm deviating. Y'all forgive me. I'm liable to chase rabbits anytime in this class. Did you hear this week? Some of you maybe keep up with sports more than I do, and I don't keep up with hardly any. They wrote a letter to some of the big sports organizations saying if you don't allow biological men to compete with biological women, we will not let you hold a big sporting events like the Super Bowl or something like that. Now, to me, that's so absurd, I can't believe it, but that's what's going on. The LGBT crowd, the lesbian crowd, the, let's face it, the queer crowd. Now you know who I'm talking about, don't you? Now we got to give them more than equal rights. More than equal rights. But is it right? Is it right for young ladies to train hard and then to among their own gender and then have to go out on competition day and face a man? Who are we kidding? Men are supposed to be stronger. Women are the weaker vessel according to the Word of God. That's not fair at all. And yet all of a sudden, on this threat of discrimination charge, everybody's so afraid they're going to be charged with discrimination until it, excuse me, but it stinks. Just terrible. And that's what's going on. And so now we're seeing the absurd. Very absurd. Well, we'll get too deep on it, but the truth is what we're seeing now is a conflict of kingdoms. And as you end chapter 13, the Antichrist kingdom's coming to power with his mark, with the false prophet representing the world religions. And oh, yes, there'll be a lot of religion left after the church is called out. Those that are saved, we do belong to Christianity. Christianity is a religion, but religion is not Christianity. There's a big difference. And we're seeing that everywhere we look today. So as we move down here, we see some scenes in the tribulation period after the church is gone, dealing with Israel, and we see a conflict now between the kingdom of the Antichrist and the kingdom of God that's going to come back and set up on planet Earth. So here's a group, a special group, a group that's called out, identified, redeemed from the earth. Chapter 7 tells us they're Jews, 12,000 from 12 tribes. They're called virgins, so they're not defiled with women. Now, there's one thing that's under major attack and has been for a number of years now in the world, and that's good old-fashioned marriage. Today, everywhere you look, I mean, they celebrate having babies out in Hollywood without ever being married. They talk about that like it was all right. No, it's not all right. It's not God's plan. It's man's sin that has produced all that stuff. And here's a group that's not into that world mindset, that sexual perverted mindset that's come on, and they're called virgins here. Now, we can trace them in the Bible. I don't know if I showed you before, but go with me. I believe I'm going to look at Psalms 45. Let's see if that's right. Hold your place here. We'll try to go back to, I think I'm thinking Psalms 45. Pick it up if you get to Psalms. That's one of the easier books to find. You can just kind of shoot at the middle of your Bible, right? Psalms 45, picking it up in verse 13. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. we're getting the picture of a bride here. The king, of course, is the Lord, but even in an old world setting of kings and queens and so forth, we see the finery and the pomp and splendor and so forth of a marriage. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. Now here's the point. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. You see the picture. Now that's the virgins. We still portray it in a wedding. You see the bride come down the aisle, and then we see the women that come and stand with the bridesmaids, we call them. And they're all dressed up. We're picturing this. Even a modern wedding today, as perverted as some of them have become, still depicts some real deep Bible truths. Pictures the marriage of the Lord to his bride. His bride is called the church. And wonderful truths in the Bible. If you study that out. But we get mixed up a little bit on who these virgins are. In Matthew chapter 25, the Lord Jesus tells the story of the virgins going out to meet the bridegroom. He says, the kingdom of heaven will be likened, compared to, unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Now here's where everybody interprets this parable wrong. They didn't go out to marry the bridegroom. It's okay to teach it spiritually, 10 wives and 10 that didn't have any oil, and that's a good picture of ones that's going to miss salvation, but that's not the context. The context of these 10 virgins are meeting the bridegroom, not marrying the bridegroom. They're going to be involved in the wedding party, but they're not the bride. And they're not marrying the bridegroom. John the Baptist said, he that has the bride is the bridegroom. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. We teach the kids all about it. And the spiritual truth is there. When the bridegroom tarried, didn't get there when they thought he would, they slumbered and slept. Midnight was the cry and so forth. So it's okay to teach about those unprepared, not ready. But in truth, this is picturing a heavenly wedding. This is picturing something yet future. And so these 10 virgins are good insight to this 144,000 in Revelation 14, called virgins, redeemed from the earth, and first fruits unto God and the Lamb. Now, it's describing them here, Revelation 14, 4 and 5. Verse 5, and in their mouth was found no guile. Now, as human beings go, they're specially prepared of the Lord. They're perfect. You know, you can't hardly say that about any of us, that in us is found no guile. It'll slip up on you. You'll practice it before you know it. That's the fallen flesh. It'll do that. Now, some of perfected it to become real con men, no doubt about that. But that's the weakness of the human flesh. But here's some men, no guile, for they are without fault. Don't say they're without sin, but says they're without fault before the throne of God. So they're specially chosen of God. And this is a special group, this 144,000 that's following him in the midst of the tribulation period. Now, today it becomes pretty distinctive whether people follow the Lord or not. Whether you're living by God's rules or yours or the world's. More so than ever will that be true in the tribulation period. I mean, the distinction will be so clear cut then. And of course, this 144,000 is going to come under great persecution. If you want to get persecuted today, stand up for what's right. Not wrong, but what's right. I've joked about that through the years, having been here so long. When I graduated high school in this town and done my hot rodding and all the stuff that I did, I was pretty popular. My name would get in the paper. Well, Mickey Carter won another race over in Lakeland, whatever. You know, I could go in the stores, hey, how you doing? Then I got here and became a different Mickey, a new creature. I started preaching right and wrong. Next thing I knew, I could walk in and people I knew that knew me didn't want to hardly speak to me. What had I done, wrong or right? I'd done right, but right got me in trouble. And to a great degree, still true. I've kind of got used to it. I never remember when it hurt. I guess it hurt my feelings, but I got over it real fast. I was walking down the street right here in Haines City, early years. I'd been preaching maybe 3 years. And I saw a fellow coming from my past, and I was, you know, that's so-and-so, and he knows who I am, and I'm going to shake hands with him. Good to see you. He crossed the street rather than meeting me. Now, I'm going to be honest, for just a second, that hurt. Then I got to thinking, why? And more I thought about why, the more I was glad he crossed the street. Amen. You know what Jesus said about that? He said, woe unto you when every man speaketh well of you. Not bad, but well. And you want to get in trouble, just take a stand for right. Now, Trump had all his faults, but he got in trouble over what he was doing right. He got in trouble over the part that God would have approved of. If he'd have went in there doing like they want him to do and what is being done now, oh, he'd have won the election big time. But he created the most hate of any man I've ever seen, not from doing wrong, doing right. I thought about that this week when I pulled up to the gas pump. Amen. I looked on the sign. It said 285. I remember when I pulled up that same station just a few days ago, less than 50 days ago, and it was 185, 189. What's happened? Just exactly what we said would happen. Now, that's doing wrong, trying to put us back into bondage where we had become oil independent and a lot of other good things. All right, I got off again. You just get me off the worst sometimes. But doing right can get you in trouble. And it's sure going to get these 144,000 in trouble here in the midst of the tribulation period. But they are a different group. They're called virgins and no guile. And without fault, and then it kind of changes gear from verse 5 to verse 6. I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven. John's given us the vision, the message. What he saw an angel fly in the midst of heaven having the everlasting gospel. Let me make 2 points. I've said from time to time, and it's a little thing, it don't matter. Any artist that pictures an angel will draw wings on him. And the angel flies. But nowhere in the Bible does it teach you that angels have wings. And every time they showed up as a young man, not as a young, pretty long-haired, blonde woman with wings. Sorry, but that's the Bible picture. It's a whole lot different than what you see painted by the artist. But you say the angel flew. Well, Superman flies without wings, right? I don't know how God does it. But see, a lot of the folks in the old days couldn't imagine anything flying without wings because birds had wings, right? So they had to draw something that flew, had to have wings. Well, I got off on that. Look at it here. It says, the angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel. Now, here's a place you better rightly divide. The everlasting gospel. Now, Paul warned the church at Galatia, if anybody preached any other gospel, let him be accursed. I'm aware of that. But you got to remember, now you're in a different dispensation. The church is gone. The church age is over. We're in the tribulation period. We're dealing with Israel, and these angels are preaching a gospel. What does the word gospel mean? It means good news. Amen. It's good news today that Jesus loved us and died for us, and we believe on him and be saved. That's good news. The good news in the midst of the tribulation period, with Israel under persecution, especially 144,000 under persecution, the Antichrist kingdom's in power, people are having to take the number. What would the good news be? Why, you say the good news that Jesus died. Yeah, but that was good news to those that accepted it in the church age. Now it's the tribulation period. What's the good news? Here's the everlasting gospel. In the tribulation period, Jesus is fixing to come back and set up his kingdom on earth, the millennial reign. That's the good news. You know who's going to hate that news? Same crowd that hates the news about Jesus today. The Antichrist kingdom hates the news of Jesus. They're going to hate it more in the tribulation period because that means the Antichrist is going to be put down. His kingdom's going to fall. Jesus is going to set up his kingdom, the everlasting gospel, a kingdom that is forever and ever. You read the details in the book of Daniel and other places, how that the smiting stone is going to come out of the mountain, cut out without hands, and hit the image of the world governments on the feet, bring it all down, and then his kingdom's going to last forever. So the good news the angel's preaching is the everlasting gospel. Jesus is coming back, set up his kingdom, and that'll be bad news to the world that don't want to give up the power, the Antichrist. We're in a real fight with globalism today. Did you see in the news the hordes that are now crossing the border? Of course, since the president got in, he's invited the whole world to come and we'll pay their bills. We'll give them the free medical. We'll give them the free education. We'll pay their bills. Did you see a flash of it on the news? I only saw it one time, and I'll be honest with you, I haven't been watching a lot of it because I'm just so sick and tired of it. Amen. But I did see a flash of it the other night, and here they came with Biden t-shirts on. Help yourself. Biden invited us, here we come. Pay my bills, let me in, take care of me. Oh, don't check me for COVID. Boy, we've got such a double standard in America. Can't get on an airplane without being checked. Somebody was telling me this morning. But we can open the borders and let you in by the thousands without being checked. You got me off again, didn't you? Truth is, we today are not fitting too well in the world as believers. But we're going to fit any day the trumpet sounds. And then in the tribulation period, those that stand up for God, like this 144,000, they won't fit. They'll be in a fight with the Antichrist. They won't welcome the news that Jesus is fixing to come back and set up his kingdom. But that's what this angel will be preaching in verse 6. He said with a loud voice, verse 7, "Fear God, give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. Worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountain." In other words, worship your creator. That's the gospel he's preaching. Now the hour of his judgment. You know what the word hour there? Probably means 1 hour, as we'd think of an hour. But one thing it does means, it means quickly, short. Not year, not decade, but hour. That hour's come, finally the time. And God is going to judge and set up his kingdom on planet Earth. When I went to school, you could still say the so-called Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. One day that's going to happen. Time's up this morning. You didn't listen very fast. Well, let me see, 8:05, counting some of the folks listening. Buses was down, but praise God, 2:19, and that's on a day when they mess with the clocks, amen? All right, we'll have 7 or 8 minutes to break here and have the preaching service.